Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm not here to judge how the league handled the situation. You know, I just think that, you know, when you're misinformed or you're not educated about something, and I'm just talking about, you know, the tweet itself, you know, you never know the ramifications that can happen. You know, we all seen what that did. Not only did for our league, but for all of us in America, for people in China as well. And sometimes you have to think through things that you say that may cause harm, not only for yourself, but for the majority of people. And I think that's just a prime example of that.
All right, so that's LeBron James, who yesterday called out Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Rockets, and said he was misinformed and not really educated on the situation in Hong Kong, where Daryl Morey, about a week and a half ago now, sent out the tweet supporting the protesters in Hong Kong, the pro-democracy protesters, by the way. He sent out a tweet supporting them, and ever since then, it's been this huge story in the NBA. And LeBron James has now had about 11 days to respond to this, and he comes out and he accuses Daryl Morey of being misinformed and not really educated on the situation. If you want to hop on board, the number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so right here on WEI Late Night. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Do you think that Daryl Morey, a guy that went to Northwestern, a guy that went to MIT, was misinformed or not really educated on the situation? Now, here's the problem for LeBron James. After LeBron James says this yesterday, and he makes these comments last night, it's all over Twitter, and he's basically getting killed. From the left, from the right, whatever your political loyalties or wherever your political loyalties lie, everybody was killing LeBron James last night for the comments that he essentially made. Talking about, well, we have freedom of speech, but sometimes you got to use it in the correct way. He said you could affect people spiritually in this. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but nonetheless, the point being, you had 11 days to prepare this, and you had to, after this, after you had this statement, so to speak, after you came out and eviscerated Daryl Morey, you came out and you had to clarify on Twitter. You said, clarifying my earlier comments, I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and the ramifications for the tweet. I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that. So essentially now what LeBron James is saying, he was backtracking. He's saying, hey, I'm not talking about what Daryl Morey's supporting. I'm talking about the ramifications that this had for the NBA in general. So obviously LeBron James is looking at the fact that, okay, it's going to affect business in China. It's going to affect merchandising in China. He's got a Space Jam 2 movie that's coming out. That's going to, of course, be in China. He wants to make sure he can make money off that, make money off his shoes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What he was saying is Daryl Morey didn't realize the backlash that this was going to have on the NBA. And clearly, Daryl Morey didn't. He couldn't have imagined that this tweet that he sent out was going to have this kind of reaction from the Chinese government. And really, it was going to hurt the relationship between the NBA and China, and more specifically with his team individually, the Rockets, who are obviously this huge team in China because of the relationship that they've had with Yao Ming. This is a big thing in China with the Rockets, and it has clearly hurt that relationship, okay? But the thing that sticks out to me is the original comments, not great from LeBron James. He had to backtrack and basically tweet out, I'm not talking about the substance. I'm talking about the ramifications that it has on the NBA and the ramifications it has on the league. Now, the thing that sticks out to me is LeBron is upset. He said he could have waited a week to send out this tweet. So essentially what he's saying is because the Lakers and because the Brooklyn Nets were in China at the time that Daryl Morey sent out the tweet, that he should have waited because that made it a difficult situation for the Lakers and the Nets. Does anybody really believe that? Does anybody really believe that it was a difficult situation for LeBron James and the Lakers or Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets in China? No, they were staying in five-star hotels, and the only question they had to deal with was whether or not they were playing basketball. They were not in a position where they were asked questions about this. Remember, at the time, they weren't answering questions about this. The NBA cut off media obligations at the request of China. So I don't understand how the situation in China was so difficult for LeBron James and was so difficult for members of the Brooklyn Nets. Because Dave McMenamin of ESPN reported that essentially they had a meeting with some of the players of the Lakers and some of the players of the Nets in Shanghai, where LeBron James was essentially saying, hey, if this was a player that did this, what Daryl Morey did with the tweet in support of what was going on in Hong Kong, if a player did this, well, that guy would have repercussions, whether he'd be suspended, whether he'd be fined, whatever the case may be. And to that, I say that is an absolute joke. Does LeBron James actually think Adam Silver, of all people, Adam Silver has been praised for the way that he's empowered players, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You think Adam Silver would have actually suspended or fined a player for what Daryl Morey did? That is absolutely ridiculous. There's no way that that would have happened. There is no way that that would have happened whatsoever. And the other thing where LeBron James really comes across poorly is you understand what LeBron James is doing is he is feeding in to Chinese propaganda here. Because essentially what he's doing by saying that Daryl Morey was wrong, because essentially that's what he's doing, okay? LeBron James is criticizing Daryl Morey and saying what he did is he didn't think about other people. So what the Chinese government can do is saying, see what LeBron James, the most famous basketball player in the world, is saying? He's saying that guy Daryl Morey is wrong. So that feeds in to Chinese propaganda. And again, today, the thing that really pissed me off is today LeBron James was back talking to the media. And what does he say? This is what he says, quote, I also don't think that every issue should be everybody's problem. There are multiple things that come up in our country that we don't bring up. Things that happen in my own community. I'm trying to help my kids graduate high school and go off to college. And what's been my main concern over the past couple years? My school, remember the school that he built, and inner city kids that grow up in my hometown can have a brighter future and look up to me as an inspiration and get out of the hellhole of the inner city. And we don't talk about those stories enough. Are you kidding me? Do you know how much praise LeBron James got for opening up that school? That was basically a week's worth of, I don't want to say highlights because it's not really highlights, but a week worth of interviews, and they were talking about LeBron opening this school for a week. So LeBron today, after the comments he makes about Daryl Morey, he's talking about people need to talk about the school he's opened up more and what he's doing in the community, almost like, look at me. And what he says about Daryl Morey, saying that he's not educated on the issue and that he's not informed on the issue, that comes across as almost as if LeBron's better than you. Okay, I'm better than you. I know about these situations more. You don't think Daryl Morey knows what he's talking about? You don't think Daryl Morey understands what's going on in China? And if this was an NBA player that did this, this is what I would tell you. If an NBA player did this, if one of the players in the league actually spoke up against China and supported the protests in Hong Kong, you know what would happen? That player would get credit. That player would be applauded for doing that because we've seen it in different instances where players stick up for whether it be a social issue, whatever the case may be, and they're applauded for it. But Daryl Morey is absolutely roasted for it. And I understand you can look at it and say, well, the relationship now with China and the NBA is not good and it's going to lose a lot of money in terms of the bottom line. I understand where the players are coming from and where the league is coming from and all this. But Daryl Morey has been painted out to be this pariah for just supporting something that I could tell you, unless these players are not pro-democracy, most of the players in the league completely agree with what Daryl Morey thinks about in terms of his principle. They just don't like the way that it's affecting the bottom line, so to speak. And that's the issue that the players are having more so than anything else. And the fact that LeBron James actually believes that Daryl Morey in this particular situation, if he was a player, he would have been suspended or fined or disciplined in any manner, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. This commissioner would not do it. The other thing that I think is hypocritical about this is, remember the Laura Ingraham situation. She was completely wrong when she said LeBron James should just shut up and dribble. Remember she said that on Fox News. She was completely wrong about that situation. Made no sense. It was a terrible, terrible thing for her to say. But essentially now, what we're saying to Daryl Morey is pretty similar, right? Don't weigh in on things that you feel passionate about from a social perspective. Because here's the thing with LeBron. Remember, LeBron James has gone after the president multiple times. He said this. Remember when Trump decided not to invite the Warriors to the White House? He said, you bum at Steph Curry already said he ain't going, so therefore ain't no one invited. Going to the White House was a great honor until you showed up. That's what he said about the president. And a lot of people share the opinion of LeBron James. But here's the thing about LeBron. LeBron says stuff when it's easy, right? When it makes sense. This is easy stuff. Most people, at least NBA fans, for the most part, that league leans liberal. Most people agree with what LeBron James says when he calls out the president. Most people support LeBron James when he calls out the president. But this is a difficult situation for the league. So it's not as if LeBron James has said anything that is really that controversial or that he's sticking up for something that other people don't support. He is outspoken and he is passionate about social issues when it favors him, right? But when it's a difficult situation, he seems to be hypocritical of what he truly believes in. And I just can't believe that a guy that has been this smart in the league, right? Really, he's done everything right since he got in that situation with the decision all those years ago where that was ill-prepared, and what a joke that was. I mean, that's obviously a much smaller issue. But you had 11 days to get ready. You knew that eventually you were going to face the media, and that's the statement you come out with. Not to mention the fact you have to backtrack and correct yourself on Twitter. That was just an embarrassing look for LeBron James. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to John in Florence. What's going on, John?
Hey, thank you. It's nice to see that the social justice warrior LeBron James has an Achilles heel. He's a sanctimonious, self-righteous, hypocritical clown. He says all these things about how the United States has concentration camps, but yet China actually has concentration camps. And whereas Michael Jordan just profited off of those poor kids in China that were making his sneakers, LeBron James not only has them making his sneakers, he has them buying his sneakers and going to his movies. I mean, he is the best because, like I said, they say, you know, Jordan was only 6'6", and they didn't know they piled it that high, but now they pile it 6'8". It just, everything just gets bigger, right? LeBron James is so funny.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, John. By the way, the number is 617-779-7937. It's interesting, too, because I know, like, what a lot of people are saying that support LeBron James in this is they're saying, well, who else was speaking up about the injustice in China right now? Who else was speaking up about the Hong Kong protests? Nobody else was speaking out about this until Daryl Morey said something. So everybody's on their high horse criticizing LeBron James because he doesn't want to talk about it, yet nobody else is talking about it, right? So, but the thing I would point out is, well, now that it's become a conversation, now it's a talking point, and now LeBron James is asked to answer questions about it, and this is the way that he answers the questions, to essentially say that the guy that made a comment about it was misinformed and not educated on the situation whatsoever. Like, really, if you think about this, from LeBron James's perspective, he would have been criticized if he did what Russell Westbrook did and what James Harden did, where essentially they said, we're not going to answer these questions. And the NBA shut down the questions. Remember, they said only basketball questions. So James Harden and Russell Westbrook didn't want to answer questions about this because if you look at it, maybe they aren't informed on the issue. That could be the case. I don't know personally what James Harden and Russell Westbrook were thinking. Or secondarily, maybe they were looking out for themselves and they were saying, all right, James Harden is like, I get an Adidas shoe that I want to sell overseas. I want to sell in China, etc. Russell Westbrook's like, hey, I have a Jordan brand shoe that I want to sell in other countries, so I don't want to say anything that's going to offend the Chinese government, like what happened with Daryl Morey, the general manager of our team. So they decided that they weren't going to say anything. They weren't really heavily criticized for that. Now, LeBron James, because he's a bigger name and because he's the spokesperson for the league, so to speak, if it's LeBron James, he'd come under a little criticism for that, saying, I don't want to weigh in on that type of stuff. And if he basically just ducked the questions like Harden and Westbrook did, he would get some criticism for that. But I feel like it would have been way less than the criticism he's actually getting. And for him to come back today and say essentially that people need to start to talk about the school that he opened up more, that is absolutely ridiculous. Hey, look at me. Look at all the great work I've done after the comments he made yesterday. That, to me, that's where he just lost me today. I mean, that was, could he be any more selfish? He was pointing to himself saying, look what I've done. I mean, that was absolutely pathetic. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 45 minutes or so. Let's check in with Brian. He's in Providence. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good evening. For LeBron James to really criticize somebody about education, really? He probably got through high school being a basketball player and probably didn't learn anything, which obviously it shows his upbringing.
Well, hold on, Brian, and
he didn't go to college,
right? Okay,
and for him to criticize a man that probably went to 3 years of college,
Well, Brian, here's the thing. Brian, hold on a second. Here's the thing. I'm not going to criticize LeBron James for his intellect or his intelligence. He's obviously a very smart
business. Well, you should.
No, hold on, Brian. Hold on. I mean, Brian, hold on a second. You don't have to go to college to be an intelligent person, okay? We've seen that in the past. But the issue I have with LeBron is him saying somebody like Daryl Morey, who's been to Northwestern, who went to MIT, who's considered to be one of the smartest guys in the NBA, to say he's not educated and not informed on the issue. That's what I had a problem with, because obviously—
Thank you. You just answered my question. You know, basically— I mean, who is LeBron James to question anybody with that type of, intellect and education?
Well, you know,
and he doesn't have it himself.
Well, yeah,
he doesn't have it. He never went to college.
Well, Brian, the point is, what it comes across as LeBron James is worried about his brand. He's worried about selling sneakers. He's worried about selling his movies, and he's trying to
talk about education when you don't have any, and he doesn't have any.
Right. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I don't agree with his comments whatsoever. I've said that. It makes no sense that you call a guy like Daryl Morey misinformed or not educated. Do you think, honestly, Daryl Morey, with everything we know about this guy in the NBA, guy's a genius, right? I mean, he's a very smart individual. Do you think that Daryl Morey would put on social media something about the Hong Kong protests and not know what it's about? Really, think about that. Do you really think that would be the case, that Daryl Morey would actually put something like that on Twitter, on social media, when he's one of the more active general managers, executives really in sports, that actually tweets? He's very active. You think he would actually do that if he wasn't informed on the situation? Now, where you can see this is you can see that Daryl Morey clearly did not expect this type of backlash, where you had a report last week where you're talking about owners essentially preparing for losing 15% of the salary cap because of the relationship and how the damage could be caused with China going forward. So Daryl Morey clearly did not expect that level of backlash and basically to be painted out like a pariah. But where LeBron James goes wrong is calling the guy misinformed and uneducated on the issue. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And think about this. Can I pose this question to you? What if, just say hypothetically, what if it was the other way around? What if LeBron James tweeted this out? Okay, first of all, if LeBron James tweeted this out, you do realize that everybody in the NBA, the players, would be supporting him, right? Because LeBron James is the face of the league, etc. Everybody would be supporting him. But let's just think about it from this hypothetical. What if Daryl Morey, after LeBron James had tweeted this out, had come out because he realized, or if it was an owner of a team, right? Say it was Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, whoever the case may be. If an owner of a team or of a general manager of a team, after LeBron James tweeted this out, about, and I'm saying hypothetically, about the Hong Kong protests, and he was supporting the Hong Kong protests, what if Daryl Morey or Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, came out and said in a press conference that LeBron James was misinformed and uneducated on the situation? Can you imagine what the storyline would be? Can you imagine what the backlash would be if the shoe was on the other foot? So that's where I thought LeBron James, man, he had a real opportunity here in a press conference to stand for something, and he talks about standing for stuff all the time. And this is what he does. He uses the opportunity to attack Daryl Morey and attack his intelligence out of all things to criticize Daryl Morey for. His intelligence is not one of them. It really is not one of them. And the other thing that I would look at going forward is the fact he has to clarify the tweet, and then the next day he wants praise for himself. Look at the school I opened up. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. Could anybody be more self-involved than LeBron James? All right, if you want to hop on board, weigh in on this, you certainly can. The number is 617-779-7937. I'll continue to talk about this. Plus, I want to get into something that Kemba Walker said today that really stuck out to me. Some important comments made by the new Celtics point guard. I'll get into that in just a little bit. But before we do any of that, we'll get you trending right here on WEI Late Night. Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. Drama with the Patriots. Ian Rappaport reporting that Michael Bennett has been suspended 1 week for conduct detrimental to the team. He will miss Monday's game against the Jets. Bennett got into a disagreement with Pat's assistant coach, Brett Bielema. Bennett released a statement to ESPN saying, quote, "On Friday, I had a philosophical disagreement with my position coach that has led to my suspension. I apologize to my teammates for any distraction this may have caused." Bennett played a season-low 11 snaps against the Giants last week. Some good news on the injury front, as rookie receiver N'Keal Harry returned to practice today. Harry is eligible to play in Week 9 against the Ravens. blockbuster deal in the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting the Jaguars have traded cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Rams for two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick. Earlier in the day, L.A. sent defensive back Marcus Peters to the Ravens for a fifth-round pick. The C's beat the Cavs 118-95 at a preseason game. Rookie Carson Edwards led the team with 30 points. The Green kept their main rotation guys home. Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, Enes Kanter, and Daniel Tice were all given the night off. This was the final preseason tune-up for the C's. They'll visit the Sixers on the 23rd to open up the regular season. Baseball, the Astros beat the Yankees 4-1 to take a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven series. Game 4 is scheduled for Wednesday night in New York. The Nationals will await the winner of this series. They beat the Cardinals 7-4 tonight to complete the four-game sweep. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Brian Barrett with you. WEI Late Night for the next half hour or so. The number is 617-779-7937. All right, so the big deal in the NFL today, Jalen Ramsey's on his way to Los Angeles for two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick, heading back to the Jacksonville Jaguars for Jalen Ramsey, who has been a malcontent for the past couple of weeks. Guy's an absolute idiot, too. Do you see when he showed up to training camp with a Brinks truck? Now, I know we saw Antonio Brown with the hot air balloon, but Jalen Ramsey showed up to training camp this year with a Brinks truck, essentially basically saying, pay me. And he has this clown, I don't know who he was, a relative or somebody, on a megaphone, and there's nobody around the Brinks truck. And they're screaming about how they need to pay Jalen Ramsey. There's nobody there. There's nobody around the truck. Okay, luckily they got it on film by some news organizations, but there's nobody there. And then Ramsey can't get out of the truck. It takes him forever to get out of the truck. The guy's an absolute clown. He didn't want to be in Jacksonville. Okay, that's fine. But he finally got what he wanted. He got a trade. He didn't get the contract he ultimately wanted. Apparently he's been dealing with a back issue. I don't know about that. All of a sudden, I bet he's going to be able to play when the Rams get ready to play the Falcons this week. I'm going to predict that magically, Jalen Ramsey's back is just fine. So anyway, he worked his way out of there, whatever, got his way to Los Angeles. But here's the thing with the Rams. This is the team that is, like, defining the Super Bowl hangover. They've now lost three consecutive games. And really, we look at the Falcons, how the Patriots ruined that organization. Remember, the Falcons had that 28-3 lead, famously. The Patriots came back. They've never been the same since. Look at them now. They're 1-5. That Falcons organization is a joke. And in all likelihood, Dan Quinn, the head coach of the team, is going to get fired at the end of the season. So ever since they lost that game to the Patriots, they've been scarred. There's been scar tissue there. The Patriots are like the only team in the NFL that doesn't have these Super Bowl hangovers. Everybody else has a Super Bowl hangover with the exception of the Patriots. They're like the only team that doesn't have the Super Bowl hangover when they lose. Like they lost to the Eagles last year or 2 years ago. They make it all the way back this year and beat the Rams. But the Rams, the issue with them right now, their defense has not been as good as you expected it to be. But the issue with the Rams is not the defense, it's the offense. The offense sucks right now. First of all, Todd Gurley missed last week's game. He's been dealing with a quad injury, and we know that there's the report that the knee could be arthritic. And then you look at the fact their offensive line's not good anymore. Their quarterback threw for 78 yards last week. So just from an overall Rams perspective, and I'm not going to do too much on the Rams, but this is a team that the Patriots ruined. I don't know how this solves their issues. Now, it certainly will help their defense. Jalen Ramsey's an outstanding player. But offensively, the Patriots did this thing where they put six guys at the line of scrimmage last year, and the Rams still haven't recovered from it. Everybody else in the NFL is defending the Rams the same way the Patriots did in the Super Bowl, and the Rams can't figure it out. The Rams is a franchise right now. They have no first-round picks going forward either. They're giving them all away. I don't know how this Rams team is going to build any sort of stable organization long-term because they're not going to have any young players, and they're paying most of their young guys right now. That team is in disarray, and I don't expect it to get better anytime soon. The Niners clearly and the Seahawks clearly better teams right now in that division. Anyway, I wanted to transition to the Celtics. If you want to join us, the number is 617-779-7937. Okay, so two comments that stuck out to me from Kemba Walker. And Nick Fryer with WEI.com, rather, put these up. So the first one is Kemba Walker said on Monday, quote, "We get along very well, very, very well." Okay, so the fact that they're pointing that out, that clearly tells you that this was a point of stress Like, you know, they talk about with NFL officials, like it's a stress point. They want to make sure that they call this more often. Usually the NFL officials mess it up. But clearly this is something that the Celtics were stressing all offseason. And now through training camp and as we're finishing up the preseason like the Celtics did tonight, this was clearly something they were stressing. Team chemistry, right? So clearly that's something that they're going to be trying to improve on this year after what happened last year. We all know that would be the case. But it seems like Kemba is going to get the credit for this team being a better group in terms of the ethos and the culture of the team, right? So what I look at is some of that is clearly genuine, right? Kemba Walker is a good guy from all indications. I remember the day that he signed with the Celtics. I had Jeff Goodman on here, and Jeff Goodman said this guy's a culture builder. Everybody loves him, all the stuff he does off the court, for example, when the team is on the road. Kemba was the highest paid player on the Hornets, as we all know, and he would pick up all the bills. So he'd take his guys out to dinner. They'd go out to eat. I'm sure last year, at some point when the Celtics are on their road trips, with the way everything transpired with Kyrie, guys are like, yeah, I'm not going out to eat with Kyrie. But Kemba's one of these guys that organizationally can bring guys together, and he's going to get guys to go out to dinner on the road. And you may say, oh, that doesn't really matter, Brian. I don't care if they go out to eat together on the road. But it builds up team chemistry. So clearly they're stressing that, and clearly there is some level of importance to that. And Kemba Walker is going to be the guy that gets the credit for that, okay? Now, the other thing that I would look at right now is that certainly a lot of that is sincere with Kemba Walker, but let's not pretend like he isn't building off what Kyrie left behind. So essentially what Kemba Walker is doing is he is being the anti-Kyrie Irving, right? So if you remember this, and he's been working on this being the anti-Kyrie, and I'm not saying that it isn't genuine, that he's not a great leader and he's not somebody that cares about his teammates like Kyrie clearly didn't. But the other thing that I look at is, if you go back to remember he had that letter in the Players Tribune, this is what he said. I'm a leader in my own way. I'm never going to shout anyone off the court or get overly negative. It's not my style. But what I do is I take pride in making my teammates better. I'm that lead by example type. I like to keep it direct. Think about that quote. I'm never going to shout anyone off the court or get overly negative. Who does that sound like the polar opposite of? Oh, yeah, that Kyrie Irving guy. Remember Kyrie Irving getting arguments all the time? I mean, famously, he got into the argument after the Orlando game where he was mad at Al Horford for essentially not giving him the ball, and Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum got the shot at the end of the game. He was mad at Brad Stevens as well. Remember that with Kyrie Irving? That's like a direct shot at Kyrie Irving. Now, I understand Kemba Walker is going to be a great leader. He's a culture builder. He's a great guy in the locker room and all that stuff. I'm not dismissing that, and I'm not saying any of that is not true. I'm just saying, based on a lot of stuff that comes out of Kemba Walker's mouth, he is playing the anti-Kyrie card, right? So he knows ultimately he's going to be beloved in Boston because he's not Kyrie. He's not Kyrie. So everybody's going to love Kemba Walker, and he's doing all the right things from a marketing standpoint in this town where everybody's going to love him because he's saying, oh, the team really gets along. We have really, really good chemistry. We really, really get along. And I'm saying there is obviously truth to that, but Kemba Walker is building off what Kyrie Irving failed to do here, and I give him credit for it. Hey, if I was Kemba Walker, I'd do the same thing. I want to build up a brand in the Northeast in the New England area. Now, he came from Charlotte, a small market. Now he gets to New England. He can get some Dunkin' Donuts commercials, do all that different type of stuff, right? So I give Kemba Walker credit for that. But I'm telling you, there is something to Kemba Walker. Somebody that works with Kemba Walker, whether it's his agent, whether it's somebody in marketing, whether it's a family member, somebody say, hey, Kemba, you know what we can really benefit from? Just be the anti-Kyrie. So like all that stuff that Kyrie did last year, just say the opposite, and everybody's going to love you. Everybody is going to think you're this great leader. And what Kemba Walker is going to get is he's going to get the credit for the culture change with the Celtics, when in all reality, the culture change is that they got Kyrie the hell out of town. Now, Kemba Walker, I'm sure he's going to help the culture. Like I said, I'm not denying that, but a lot of other guys could have come in here and could have not been the issue from a locker room ruining standpoint that Kyrie Irving was. You just don't have to be an idiot. You just don't have to be a selfish guy, and you're going to be an improvement in the locker room over Kyrie Irving. Now, the other thing that stuck out to me in terms of what Kemba Walker said is he said, quote, it takes a lot of pressure off me, talking about the fact that there's other contributors and really good players on the team. He said, it takes a lot of pressure off me. I'm getting a lot of different shots as well, but I'm loving it. Not having to do so much all the time. Hopefully my usage rate might be going down a little bit. It allows other guys to make plays. I can appreciate that for sure. And that's the comment that I just absolutely love from Kemba Walker. from somebody that wants the Celtics to become legitimate contenders in the near future and for the long term, this is the comment that really meant a lot to me. Because the other thing, that's about the anti-Kyrie thing, and I'm saying there's a lot of truth to it, but that's about the culture and the team getting along. Obviously, they're going to get along a lot more than they did a season ago, but this is the one that sticks out to me, where he says, hopefully my usage rate is down, and I can appreciate that for sure, having other teammates to contribute. So a couple of things. First of all, the thing that sticks out to you is Kemba Walker was in a place in Charlotte where the last time he played in the playoffs was 2015-2016. Okay, so for the past three seasons, Kemba Walker has been a big fish in a small pond. So he's been playing for a horrible franchise. He's been putting up numbers. He's been the celebrity for the Hornets, if you can even say that. But he's had the opportunity to be the guy. So it's the opposite of Kyrie, right? Kyrie Irving was the guy in Cleveland for like a brief stint, and then LeBron came in, and LeBron became the face of the franchise again. They won a championship. Kyrie felt like, I'm not getting enough credit. So then he works his way out of Cleveland, ultimately ends up with the Celtics, and he wants his own team. And Kyrie found out that having your own team isn't all it's made out to be, and now he's going to Brooklyn with his buddy KD. But essentially, Kyrie wanted that opportunity to be the guy, and he wanted everything to be on his terms, right? He wanted to be all about Kyrie Irving and him being the engine and the reason the Celtics were winning at a high level. That's what Kyrie wanted. Kemba's the opposite. Kemba had that in Charlotte where it wasn't working out at a high level, right? He was getting to take 20 shots a night like he did last year, but the team wasn't winning. So Kemba's saying, all right, I've had that chance to score 25 points a game and be third team All-NBA. But what did it get me? It didn't get me anything in terms of team success. It didn't even get me to the postseason. So now I have the opportunity to come to a place and actually contribute to a team that I know is going to be in the postseason. So that is completely sincere. And I believe 100% that Kemba Walker believes that now he gets to actually play in a good team for the first time in his career. This is by far the best team he's ever played on. If you look at Kemba Walker's career, the best player he played with, Al Jefferson. Now he gets to play with Tatum and Brown, and if Gordon Hayward gets back, and a really good coach in Brad Stevens. So Kemba Walker really wants this opportunity. And the other thing that sticks out to me is this. If you look at it from Kyrie's perspective, the best thing with this organization going forward was going to be the development of Jason Tatum. And do you think that at any point, if Kyrie Irving was here, that he could take a backseat to Jason Tatum? And that if Jason Tatum, if this team required Jason Tatum to take the most shots on the team for the best benefit of this organization, not only short-term or long-term, do you think Kyrie Irving would have been willing to make that sacrifice? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He wanted to win on his own terms. But now going forward, the important part about having Kemba Walker here is he's going to let Jason Tatum emerge into that superstar, or let's give him all, at least give him all those opportunities to become that player. Because if this Celtics team is ever going to be a contender again, it's going to be because Jason Tatum pops. That's the reality of the situation. You don't win in this league with a small point guard as your best player. No disrespect to Kemba Walker, but really, if you think about it, in the history of the sport, there has been two small point guards that have been the best players on championship teams. That's Isaiah Thomas in the 80s with the Bad Boy Pistons and Steph Curry. But the difference with Steph Curry and these guys, when I'm talking about Kemba Walker, Steph Curry is the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. So even that's kind of an outlier, right? So two outliers in the history of the sport. With Kemba Walker, he's never going to be the best player on a championship team. These teams in the NBA now are led by small forwards. Look at the past couple of NBA championships. Kawhi Leonard, best player on the Raptors, right? Kevin Durant, best player on the Warriors. Before that with the Cavs, it was LeBron James. LeBron James with the Miami Heat. So that's kind of the way the league has gone. The wing is the guy that carries the team. So if this Celtics team is going to get back into contention in the foreseeable future, it's going to be because Jason Tatum, who Danny Ainge said he would have picked with the number one overall pick, and clearly that's true. He took Jason Tatum third, and he just fleeced the Sixers at the time. So clearly he thought that he was the best player in that draft. So Jason Tatum, he's the most important player clearly within this organization, because if he pops and he gets to that all-star caliber level, well, then you have a star here that after this year you'll give him a max contract, and now you feel like you have that main building block. And Tatum's already in the NBA inner circle, right? Everybody loves Jason Tatum around the league. He's already got this deal with Jordan Brand. A lot of people like Jason Tatum. So if you have this guy homegrown internally, then you can start to build around Jason Tatum, because we know that you're not going out and getting the premier free agents. We've seen it. You can get the secondary guys, the Haywards and the Al Horfords, the Kemba Walkers this year, but you can't get the main guys. And what Jason Tatum may be able to do is to make this a destination if he pops and he becomes the player that we think ultimately he can be. And the thing now with Kemba Walker in the fold instead of Kyrie Irving, We now know that Jason Tatum's going to get every opportunity to pop and be that superstar that could make this Celtics team a contender in the near future and in the long term as well. And you are never going to have that opportunity with Kyrie Irving in the fold. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. I do also want to get to this. Five reasons that I believe Jaylen Brown will be traded. I'll get to them all next right here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Brian Barrett with you. The number is 617-779-7937. Okay, so I got to do what they do professionally in the radio business. I got to pay off the tees. I told you, I'm going to give you five reasons right now. Not one, not two, not three, not four, five reasons, okay, why Jaylen Brown will be traded this season. Okay, so let's start with this. The first one, I like it, man. Drum roll, I like this. Nice, I like that, Joe. So the first one is this, the contract. Jaylen Brown said in the summertime, the ball is in their court. The Celtics did not entertain an extension for Jaylen Brown yet. Okay, Jaylen Brown obviously wants a lot of money, so there's going to be some bad blood there that he didn't get the contract that he ultimately thought he deserved this offseason. He looks at a guy like Jamal Murray, said Jamal Murray got max money. Ben Simmons got max money. They're from the same draft class as me. I wanted my contract. I didn't get it. Now, the Celtics were clearly right for doing this. Make them prove, or if you're the Celtics, make Jaylen prove that he deserves the money that ultimately he wants, okay? But again, that's bad blood, the contract situation, right? Okay, number two, Jason Tatum's about to pop, okay? You look at some of the stuff that Jason Tatum has said, and by the way, Jason Tatum is the significantly more talented player from an offensive perspective. I don't think anybody would dispute that, right? Now, Jaylen Brown, the better overall athlete, better defender at this point, but Jason Tatum has the ability to be a superstar, right? And I don't really see that with Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown can be really good. I don't see him ever being a superstar. Tatum has that superstar ability, okay? Now, the thing with Jason Tatum, too, is I love what he's saying about he's going to stop taking long twos. He's going to get to the free throw line. He's saying all the right things, right? So Tatum's about to pop, which is going to say this. More of the attention's going to be on Jason Tatum. He's going to be the building block going forward. And Jason Tatum's going to get a max contract after the season. So Jason Tatum's about to pop. Number three on the list. Jaylen Brown was upset about his role last year. There's a real chance this year, and remember, Kyrie's out of the equation now, but there is a real chance this year that he could be the fourth option on this team. You have Tatum, of course. You have Kemba Walker. So those are going to be your number one and your number two options. Gordon Hayward could be your number three option. Gordon Hayward gets back to 85 to 90% of what he used to be from an athletic standpoint, which a lot of people think he could be now that he's had that almost 2 years to recover from the injury, so to speak. So if he becomes the third option, Jaylen's the fourth option. And then you're thinking about it from this perspective, going back to number one, the contract, then Jaylen's going to get pissed off, right? Because then he's saying, you're ruining my value. If you're Jaylen Brown, you're saying, hey, I want to go out on the open market this year and get a max contract from somebody. And now that I'm the fourth option on this team, I'm not going to have the ability to earn that type of money because I'm a role player essentially for you. So that's going to make Jaylen Brown unhappy. Number four, bad blood with the Kyrie situation. That's still always going to be in the back of Jaylen Brown's mind. Wouldn't it for you? If you're the one guy that stuck up against Kyrie Irving or basically said something negative about Kyrie, you're the one guy that did it publicly. Jaylen Brown said last year, the leadership starts at the top. criticizing Kyrie Irving when he took a shot at the young guys. And Jaylen Brown, nobody publicly, now maybe behind closed doors, some of his teammates said, hey, man, thanks for saying that. Thanks for doing that. Man, I really appreciate that. But publicly, nobody came out and supported Jaylen Brown. And you had Jaylen Brown was benched. Remember, and not for those comments, but he was benched. He was sent to the bench last year, okay, for not having a great beginning to the season, even though he wasn't put in the proper role that he was supposed to be. They made Jaylen Brown into like a corner 3-point. That's not who he is. He doesn't stand out in the corner and be a spacer. That's not who Jaylen Brown is. So if you look at it, that's still always going to be in the back of Jaylen Brown's mind, the way that he treated him, the way the organization, rather, treated him during the Kyrie situation. They catered and they sucked up to Kyrie. And now everybody's talking about how what a bad guy Kyrie is. And Jaylen said it at the time, and nobody supported him then. So that's always going to be in the back of Jaylen Brown's mind, which isn't a good thing for the organization going forward. If Jaylen Brown has that ill will, so to speak, to some of the members of the front office, maybe the coaching staff, maybe some of his teammates, that's not good. And finally, fifth, and most importantly, in terms of the fifth reason I believe Jaylen Brown will be traded at some point this season, Danny Ainge has the Memphis pick still at his disposal, which will become unprotected in 2 years. And Jaylen Brown, if you're not going to sign him to that max contract extension that ultimately he's looking for, Bradley Beal is going to be out on the market. Bradley Beal is somebody that is really good friends with Jason Tatum from the St. Louis area. In fact, Jason Tatum refers to him as his big brother because they grew up together. He was like 5 years younger. And the other thing you look at when it comes to that perspective is when are you going to cash in these assets that you have? And if you're not going to sign Jaylen Brown to a max contract extension next summer, why don't you get rid of the player and get something back in return? Bradley Beal is a borderline superstar in this league. He's right there, not to mention the fact that you have some of the best assets available. You can give up Jaylen Brown and a first-round draft pick that belongs to the Memphis Grizzlies, who are going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA. Nobody really is going to be able to beat that package on paper. So that's why I think Jaylen Brown, five reasons why Jaylen Brown will be traded. Just gave them all to you. All right, thanks to Joe Cortez for producing tonight. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well. Up next on WEI, CBS Sports Radio. We'll hand it over to Scott Farrell.
On the bench.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.